1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of God. Amen. Well, congregation, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter tells us that Christians have been born again by the Holy Spirit through the living and abiding Word of God. We looked at this truth last Lord's Day morning. This new birth produces a life of holiness in believers, supremely a life of love, love for one another, love for God, love for our neighbor. Well, then notice chapter 2 and verse 1. So, or because we've been born again by the new and living Word of God, the abiding Word of God, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So we, in the power of God's grace in this new birth, we put away the old man. We put off being malicious to others, lying to others, being hypocritical in our love for others. We put away envy and we put away slander. And instead, we put on the new man created after Christ Jesus in righteousness and holiness. We put on eager, sincere love for others. And then we come to our text, verses 2 through 3 this morning. So what's the connection here in the paragraph? Why does the Apostle Peter end this paragraph with verses 2 and 3, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good? In Jesus Christ, we are given a new and far better life. However, we are not yet removed in this life from the presence of sin. We, as newborn Christians, still sin. For instance, our love for others is not always as eager or as true or as sincere as it should be. So, since we are new creations in Christ, we have to work at putting off the old man and putting on the new man. In other words, there's that process of sanctification where the Holy Spirit comes and gives us a habitus in our heart. He dwells in our lives, and in this life, we have to work at growing in grace, putting off the old, putting on the new. The confession describes it like this in the Westminster Confession, chapter 12, paragraph 2 and 3. This sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life, there abiding still some remnants of corruption in every part, whence ariseth a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, in which war, although the remaining corruption for a time may much prevail, yet through the continual supply of strength from the sanctifying Spirit of Christ, the regenerate, the Christians, do overcome. And so they do grow in grace, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So because we're new creations by the gospel, we are growing in holiness. But obviously, we start at the beginning. We are childlike in faith and godliness at the beginning of our Christian life, and then we grow to maturity as Christians. Pastors and teachers are given to the church that Christians might mature. Paul puts it like this, that the Lord Jesus gave pastors and teachers for the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, we speak the truth in love and we grow up into Him. Well, here in our text, Peter puts it plainly. Christian, you are born again. Now grow up into salvation. Mature in godliness. Christian, you are born again. Now grow up into salvation. Mature in godliness. The first thing that we want to understand this morning is the command that we find here. The command is this: long for the spiritual milk. Now the word long means to crave, to pant after. It's an urgent desire to have. We who are born again by the Word of God are to have a longing for the spiritual milk. And the metaphor that Peter uses to explain this command makes this command crystal clear. Like infants, newborn infants, crave, even wail for their mother's milk, so we should desire the pure spiritual milk. Well, that brings me to the second point of the sermon, the pure spiritual milk. What is it? We understand the command, but what is this pure spiritual milk that we are to long for? Well, let me say that here milk is used in a positive way. In other places of the New Testament, like Hebrews chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, milk is not used in a good light. It is contrasted with solid food. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" You see, some Christians here in the Corinthian church had not grown much, so they could not go on to solid food. And so when Paul uses milk, he uses it in a way to give a rebuke to the people. You should have gone off of milk, that is the ABCs of the Christian life, and gone on to solid food. But you couldn't because your divisions and your carnal fleshliness. Well, here milk is used in a positive way. Milk is excellent and fitting food for those of us who are born again. Milk here is a symbol of spiritual nourishment for Christians. It's interesting that the word spiritual here is not the normal New Testament word for spiritual, that is, things of the Spirit or life of the Holy Spirit. But here, it's a different word. Here, the word means reasonable, genuine, true. So this excellent nourishment refers to divinity. Now, what do I mean by that word divinity? Well, what I mean by it is it refers to the blessed milk of God, the truth of God. So where does this truth of God, this divinity, this pure spiritual milk come from? And who gives it? Well, let me explain. You and I, we all know where infants receive their milk, from the mother's breast. Where do we, as God's children, receive our spiritual milk? Well, this spiritual nourishment comes from the living and abiding Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. follow the lines in this paragraph from chapter 1, verses 22 through to chapter 2 and verse 3, and you can see this. The Word of God, it's living and it's abiding, it's imperishable. The grass can wither, the flower fades, but no, the Word of the Lord, it endures forever. It remains forever. This Word of the living God is the good news that is preached to us. The Holy Scriptures, they serve Christ to us. We come to the Scriptures and we learn of Jesus crucified and of Jesus risen. And you know, this is why the Bible nourishes us. We have an example of this in Luke chapter 24 when Jesus was with his disciples on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember? Jesus was walking with them and then he began with Moses and all the prophets to interpret to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And what was the experience of the apostles or the disciples? Well, verse 32 tells us, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures?" Oh, the Scriptures are nourishment to us. As they take us to Jesus Christ, we in our minds and in our hearts are built up. We receive encouragement. We receive life. So the Scriptures have an essential role in our lives because to make it more plain, to make it more clear even, this spiritual nourishment, this pure spiritual milk comes to us from the living, resurrected Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit who takes Christ and declares him to us. We do not bow before the Bible. But this Bible is the very living Word of God to take us to bow before Jesus. This Scripture, inspired by God, is the tool God uses to take us to this pure spiritual milk. The Holy Spirit is with us. He declares Christ to us from the Scriptures, and there we have him, our nourishment. And you and I, Christians, we then taste that the Lord is good. We know, don't we, that Christ is food par excellence for our souls. Knowing Jesus more gives health to our souls. Now, get what I said there. Knowing the Bible more does not necessarily give health to our souls. There are many people in this world who know more of Holy Scripture than I do, and Jonathan does, than Jonathan and me put together, and they don't believe it at all. It's not spiritual nourishment to them. But to us, we recognize that the Bible is spiritual nourishment to us because it takes us to Christ, who is the Word of God, the spiritual milk. So knowing Jesus gives health to us. Knowing Jesus gives health to us. We think of this example in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, who did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. There we have it. The Word of God, Christ, God of very God, robed in human flesh, so that we might receive grace upon grace upon grace for all eternity. And knowing Christ is knowing God. And when we know God, and when we know Christ, and when we know the Holy Spirit, we find health for our souls. He's enough. He's fully satisfying. So this spiritual nourishment comes to us from the resurrected Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit who declares Christ to us through the living Word of God. But then notice, I'm not finished telling the story of where we get our spiritual milk. This spiritual nourishment comes to us from the church, preaching Christ and faithfully administering the sacraments to you. Because you see, the church is our mother. This is why it's so difficult, COVID-19. That's why it's very difficult for me. Because the church is your mother. Can you imagine an infant not having its milk? This is why we're suffering. Because we know this place is the place of word and sacrament. She gives us this spiritual milk. Christ presents himself to you here. So I hope that you'll come back tonight and not only receive him this morning by the word, but also receive him this evening by the word and holy sacrament and the bread and the wine. See, by Peter's example here in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, we have an example of this. By his very writing, by the will of God, by his teaching to those churches in Asia Minor, the Apostle Peter was giving these churches Christ. The glorious gospel, the glorious Jesus is manifested by preaching to you. As the Spirit of God takes the reading and the preaching and applies it to your life. And this same gospel, this same Christ is also preached to you in the bread and the wine and then the water of baptism. And so the pure spiritual milk is divinity. Meaning all the truth taught in the Holy Scriptures centered on Jesus Christ, given to us by illumination and the great work of God the Holy Spirit. Divinity is all that we need to know, which God has revealed and is revealing to us concerning God, concerning Jesus Christ, concerning our duty to God and our happiness in God. This is what the pure spiritual milk is. It's divinity. Well, thirdly then, now that we know the command and we know what the pure spiritual milk is, what is the benefit of this pure spiritual milk? Well, did you notice the text? That you may grow up into salvation. What? Grow up into salvation? Yes. You see, the gospel gives us the new birth. And then from that point on, we grow into that new birth. That is, we grow into that new way of life, the way of the Holy Spirit, the way of Jesus Christ, the way of love. And then as we now are here having this new birth and drinking in the spiritual milk and growing up into salvation, we mature. We mature because we take on the way of Jesus. And we take His word as our word and His life as our life. And we present ourselves as living sacrifices to God that we may approve what is His good and acceptable and perfect will. And as we grow, we become infants in the way of evil, but in our faith and thinking, we become mature. We take on the mind of Christ. You know, Amy Carmichael, you might have read of her story. She was a Christian missionary to India. She once wrote, "Sometimes when we read about mature, strong faith Christians, we feel almost despondent. I feel that I shall never be like that. But I need to remember that they matured through step by step, by little bits, little denials of self, little inward victories by faithfulness in very little things, and more learning of Jesus. No one sees these little hidden steps and the daily Bible reading and the regular church attendance. They only see the accomplished and the accomplishment. But even so, those small steps were taken. There is no sudden triumph to spiritual maturity. No, as you take in spiritual milk and obey it, you grow up into salvation." So should we be content with our current spiritual condition? No. We should long for more of Christ, more of the yielding to the Holy Spirit. We have tasted that the Lord is good. And so we can understand the craving for you to be in church. It's not because I'm here or Jonathan is here or because someone else is here, but because you crave Christ, because you've tasted of His goodness. But of course, this does not mean that we cannot become dull or lazy in our Christian growth. We can, as we know of that warning in Hebrews 5. We also can stay babies when we act carnally, proudly, fleshly. We have an example of this in the Corinthian church. And you know, during this lockdown, by the way, it can be a temptation to us, where we become proud and we become fleshly and we become ungodly and impatient and act carnally, and whoop, we come back to being baby Christians again. No, let's not stay babies. Let's not become dull. Let's grow in the Lord. Let's grow in the Lord. Let's long after this pure spiritual milk so that we can grow into our salvation. Let's grow in the Lord for, number one, we were made in the image of God with reason. We are not brute beasts. We are to use our minds for learning and choosing God. And especially now as Christians, when we are no longer at enmity with God in our thinking, by the Holy Spirit power, we can love God with our minds. And we need to grow in our love for God with our minds. But we can't grow up if we don't improve our knowledge of God. Secondly, let us grow in the Lord because the pure spiritual milk is perfect. It's worthy to be studied. God Himself, the eternal three in one, is the subject, is the content, is the protein in this pure spiritual milk. The Father begat the Son eternally. And the Father gave us to the Son in eternity past. And next is Jesus, the God-man, our mediator, who is prophet, priest, and king. And next is His glorious work of redemption. By His precious blood, we are saved. And next is the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. He empowers us to serve the Lord. He helps us to become more and more holy. He even strengthens us and matures us in such a way that we even become like Jesus Christ more and more in our lives. Oh, remember, dear Christian, Remember that the angels long to look and they love to look into the ways of God, as we learned in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's drink in this pure spiritual milk. There's nothing more worthy to be studied, nothing more worthy than the person of God. Well, let us grow in the Lord, because thirdly, it is essential that we know God's truth. It's essential that we know God's truth. Not everyone needs to know carpentry or bookkeeping or surgery. Even science is not the most important thing to study in this world. But divinity is essential for all people to know. Here in Scripture's message of God, we learn how God saves and what real happiness is. Here we learn how Jesus would have us live in our lives at home. How he would have us to live in our lives in our marriage, as we'll learn tonight from Jonathan's sermon. Here we learn how Jesus would have us to live in work. How he would have us to live in our country. How he would have us behave in the church of Christ, which is his body. Also, let us grow in the Lord because God has given us the Holy Spirit to illumine us in His truth. The God who at creation commanded, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. What God commands, it is done. Think of it. The miracle of the Holy Spirit illumining you. In your light, God, do we see light? And that light is given to you, Christian. Yes, the Spirit brings light and life to the darkness of the repentant, believing sinner as God regenerates him at salvation. But then as a Christian, God, the Holy Spirit, continues to teach you. He abides in your heart. He's poured into your life, and He constantly continues to reveal Christ to you. God, the Holy Spirit, takes the Word and declares Christ to you, as I mentioned earlier. What a wonderful thing. So for you not to learn God's Word and Christ is to grieve the Holy Spirit. Think of it. For you to not attend the preaching and reading of God's Word and the sacrament is to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because you've been given the Holy Spirit so that Christ might be declared to you. He's ready to teach you. He's ready for you to yield to Him in opening the Bible and coming to worship Him in church and partaking of Christian fellowship, the communion of saints, so that you might know Him. But also, as we go on, Christian, let us grow in the Lord because, well, God has given us His inspired Word. All the prophets and apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit to bring us the foundation of the church, which is Jesus Christ. What a gift preserved from us for us throughout all of history. And here we have it in the original Hebrew, in the original Greek, and in our English translations. Here is the living and abiding Word of God to take us to the Word of God. You don't depend upon me to come from some cave or some dark room like this and say, "Oh, I had a vision, and now you need to follow after my vision." Oh, no, we don't have that. We have history recorded for us in this Word, and at the same time, God revealing Himself in history through this Word. So let's learn it. Also, lastly, let us grow in the Lord because it is the call of God for us to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as we learn in Philippians 3 and verse 14. So we should be well acquainted with God's truth so we can press towards Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. You know, we have a number of journeymen in our congregation, carpenters and we have doctors, and also we have steel workers and so on. And what did they do? Well, they began their apprenticeship working alongside someone, and then they went to school at particular periods of time so that they can master their craft, that they can get better at what they do, so that they can be excellent workmen. Well, the Christian is this way too. He studies to win Christ, the prize. You know, we can never fully know what God has revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. That's true. Yet in our time, in Christ, as we are born again, we start learning and then we grow spiritually. But again, how can I get this spiritual milk and grow? Well, first come to your mother. You know, you began your life at baptism in the church. Continue your life in the mother. Continue your life in God's family. Continue to have church attendance with engagement in the preaching, with engagement at the sacrament of baptism, with your engagement at the sacrament of communion in faith. Shake your head, wake yourself up. Remember, the angels are here. Listen to what is being said. Participate in faith. As God speaks to you, respond to Him. This is the place where you receive spiritual milk. And then at the same time, read your Bible regularly. Are you reading the Bible? Read your Bible every day. And you'll grow. And add to this prayer for understanding. The Bible says if we ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom in faith, He will give us that illumination. He'll help us to understand. And then study the Bible. Have a Bible study with other people. Not just read the Bible, but study the Bible. Sometimes get into a book more deeply or read a commentary on a passage of Scripture. Or study the Bible with other friends. Read the confessions of the church, the ecumenical creeds, the Westminster Standards, the Belgic Confession, the Heidelberg, the Canons of Dort. Read the confessions of the Holy Church. Read good books. John Mormon, he's got a lot of good books. I have a lot of good books. We can all recommend good books for you. I'm sure you can recommend good books for me. Read good books on the Bible and on subjects of Scripture. And then remember this. Practice what you read. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so, practice what you read. But then I come to the last point in the sermon, and that is the call of the gospel that we have in verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you are a Christian this morning, you will indeed long for the spiritual milk, and you will start growing. Why? Why will you long for the spiritual milk, and why will you start growing in the Christian life after the new man? Because simply, you have tasted that the Lord is good and you love Him. He has given you the new birth. He's given you a new heart. And this is why you've tasted that He's good and why you love Him. Remember, a believer's heart is expressed in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And here, as Christian's heart is expressed, we have tasted that the Lord is good. And of course, this comes out of Song of Solomon, where we read in chapter 2, the church saying, "As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Oh yes, the fruit of Jesus Christ is sweet to our taste. That's why we'll grow. That's why we'll grow. But notice the if. If you indeed have tasted the good word of the Lord. You know, there are many who assume that they have eternal life and are Christians, but indeed, they don't taste Christ or His word as good. So they don't long for divinity. And they never grow up. They don't long for the bread and the wine, or to be at a baptism, or to be in the Word of God, learning. You know, when the crisis comes in their lives, who am I going to date? Oh, I need to come to the Word of God. I need to look at Scripture. I need to ask about that with elders and pastors because I want to follow the Lord. I've tasted that He's good. I want to follow His way. That's maturity. And we could use many other examples of that. But it's sad when people don't long for the way of the Lord. You see, these people who have not tasted that the Lord is good, they have no confidence in the Lord. They cannot see divinity as exciting. Sermons that make them feel good and motivated are their longing. Is this you? If it is you, you should hear the warning from the book of Hebrews in chapter number 5. About this, we have much to say, and that is about Christ, but it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm, and holding Him up in contempt. So repent and believe. If you this morning have not tasted His goodness and don't love divinity and God's truth revealed to you by the Spirit through the Word of Jesus, repent and believe the gospel and you will be saved. But Christian, I conclude with this, with these probing questions. Do you want to be a better Christian, right? You want to experience more of the Lord's presence and power and love and joy in your heart, right? You want to live in the confidence of your faith, right? You want the deep satisfaction that comes from knowing that you are living out a Christ-like life, right? You want to be happy in your faith, right? You want to love the church in sincere love, right? Well, the Lord says it's all yours in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So learn what is yours in Christ. Long for the pure spiritual milk. Learn what you possess by the grace of God. Amen. Let us pray.